Welcome back to Dragon Readers. I'm Nora. This is M.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's fine. This podcast has been a misadventure, if there ever was one. So apologies if I don't remember what the fuck happened in this book, because we were meant to record last week.
That's all right. That's what happened to me last time. So Okay. Now we're even. When we last left off, I believe Aragorn had just met up with Arya. They had that hangout sesh.
Yeah.
What happened to them from there?
They get back and Aragorn starts completing quests on his journal for a side quest log. And the bunch of not quite zombies fight them, and Murtaugh's there, and Aragorn beats Murtaugh with elven help, and Rohan gets married. That's literally all I remember.
That's like 80% of it.
Okay. Also, he tries to take the fucking curse off of Elva, and kind of, there's a whole thing where Nasrallah is like, could you just ask her if she'd be fine being like a sicko assassin child? Because she's really useful. And Aragorn's like, well, I'll ask, I guess, but I don't think she's going to say yes. And she's like, how dare you ask me that? That's so fucked up. Do you know how much suffering I'm in at all times because of everything that's happening? And so when he goes to remove the curse, he kind of only succeeds in removing. He gives her the capacity to ignore the suffering around her. And so she just starts cackling and goes, I can just turn it off. I don't have to care that people are suffering. And gleefully runs away, and everyone's horrified that they made a monster. And Angela's like, oh my God, it's going to take me years to like teach her what morality is now. You fucked everything up for me. This is my job. I'm now a mom. Thanks to you.
It's great.
But that does mean she's going to come around and probably like save the day at the very end, because she's going to choose to do the right thing, would be my guess, knowing how these books go. Just my assumption, just the vibe. I feel like Aragorn is fundamentally a book series about like good intentions lead to good outcomes, even if you stumble along the way. I think Christopher Paolini firmly believes that in life.
I am now imagining a situation where Elva takes on sort of a Mordred role, though.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. So they return to camp, and Aragorn has to have the bandages explained from Aswata's big trial. He's like, that's fucking weird. And she's like, maybe, but whatever.
I believe he calls it backwards and barbaric.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So we get a bunch of just Aragorn in camp doing camp stuff.
So he summons gold into three golden eggs, like little eggs.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of them he turns in, he gives to the guy he stole the ox hides from, and explains that he's the one who stole it. And he's like, oh, I can't take this. And he's like, look, I'm going to give it to you. Just fucking take it. You're not going to turn down a gift, right? And he's like, no, I would never let anyone say that I'm too proud to turn down a gift like this. And then asks what he used it for. And he's like, well, I made Saphira's first saddle with it. And he's amazed that he got to make Saphira's first saddle. And he gives one to the wife of the who's the guy?
Jode.
Yeah, Jode, he convinced his wife, who's like the son of the merchant guy of the whole city, who was very like, she was about to leave his ass because she thought he's a bum. And now he convinced her instead to come with her to Varden. And she thought that they would be living high on the hog in the Varden, but they're not. They're just like in a tent doing what all the Varden, no one in Varden are living well, right? And he's like, well, how about this? I'm going to give you this as like a thanks to make things right for all the help you gave me. And you're resourceful. I bet if you had this capital, this little egg of gold, you could turn it into a whole treasure hoard
by learning wisely.
Yeah. And she's like, I absolutely could do that. In fact, and Aragorn's war thing goes up 20 points.
That's right.
And then her husband's like, oh, did you bring me a present too? And he's like, yeah, I definitely remembered that you wanted a present. I'll let you ride Saphira when this is all over. Because he comes to tell him how Brom died, because he promised he would do that. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a sword, so he keeps looking for a sword. There's a whole bit where he goes to like the armorer and they talk about swords, and he's like, well, it sounds like you actually need a mace. And he's like, I'm going to use a mace. I'm a dragon rider. I use a sword. And he gets like a scimitar.
He gets a falchion, which is
Falchion. Sorry. I don't know my swords that well. At some point, he is going to convince the elvish forger to make him a new sword. That almost certainly is going to happen. What? You're not gonna trick me. I read a book before.
What are you talking about?
She swore to never forge another sword, and he's going to forge a sword. He's gonna find like a fucking meteorite or something, and bring it to her, just like Sword Art Online, where he finds the meteor metal and turns it into his sick sword.
And Avatar The Last Airbender, which is where I went with that.
Oh, okay.
But, Falchion is like a single-edged kind of swiping.
But it's a curved sword, right?
Yeah, it's chopping. It does require a bit of a different fighting style from a longsword.
Yes.
But Aragorn's cool with it. He's good at this. So we should also talk about intersecting sagas, which is a chapter people fucking hate.
Oh, where they just go, hey, there's a whole other party like this. These two women going on their own quest, and we're not going to find out anything about it. I thought this was sick as hell. I'm going to be totally honest. I thought this was very cool.
I just remember people hated this chapter. They thought it was the dumbest shit in the world. And
why?
Honestly, it's pretty cool.
One of the main complaints that one could bring against the Aragorn story so far, and I understood this is probably what I was getting into, so I don't really care, is everything in the universe revolves around Aragorn and his stupid quest. And that's fine. That's just the kind of literature we're reading in. But for a brief moment, it points to these other characters doing a thing, and Angela's like helping them out and reading their runes or whatever. And they're off to do some like way iller shit. Like their thing is like, looks like one of them was like an escaped slave, and they're like going to go some murder some guys who like, it's like a fucking rape revenge story happening over here. And Aragorn's like too wide eyed and naive to even understand the genre that he's stumbled into briefly. And I think that part's really cool.
Yeah, so this is where I tell you that Murtagh is not, despite being the fifth book, is not the book five of this series that has been promised. He is still working on another book, and a lot of people seem to think that these characters will figure in more there. So be on the lookout for these two.
Wait, is Murtagh like book six, or does he is just not numbered in this way?
It's not. He said it's a mainline book in this series, but it is not book five of the Inheritance Cycle.
I'm gonna be perfectly honest with you. I don't give a shit about this.
He is so marketing pilled. Like he had a whole like logo reveal for the new name for this setting, which is the World of Aragorn. Like in all the press release stuff, it's all gonna say World of Aragorn.
Okay, Chris, knock it off.
Knock it off. Also, you made up a fake continent name. Just own it, honestly. Yeah.
Whatever. Like, I'm sure there's people who are like really wrapped up in what that could possibly mean. I will never be that person. Not interested.
I just think they're neat. This is also the chapter where Aragorn cures cancer.
Oh, he does do that, right.
As, like, an aside in one paragraph?
Oh, he also meets a guy who just has Neo's vision from Matrix Revolutions.
That's right, yeah.
Because he's like, I just see you as, like, an energy, like, a being made of fire. And I see Murtagh, and clearly Murtagh is getting all of his magical energy from, like, hidden sources. Like, he's pulling it from other living beings that are somewhere secreted away. He's, like, vampire powered. Not that he's a vampire, but like he's leeching magical force from other beings, probably enslaved by Gabotorix. It's not really Aragorn seems to be like, what could possibly that mean? And I'm like, it means he's leeching energy from other guys. It's really easy, actually. What the fuck is wrong with you, Aragorn?
Remember how at the end of Eldest it kept mentioning that Murtagh's thoughts felt like a
yes,
fire?
Yes, I feel like Aragorn is smarter than this.
I feel like he's not.
He took all this training, and he still can't think. Even when he fights Murtagh, he's supported by a bunch of elves. How is he not thinking about this? Like, oh, he's got his own support system.
I guess that's because their minds aren't there, just their like vitality.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because they don't know what happened.
But he already knows about like enslaving spirits, right? Because he fought the Shade, and met the spirits. Like, I just feel like he has the pieces to put it together, and he had all that schooling.
He could at least have an idea. Yeah. Even if it was wrong, he could make an assumption.
But he literally like is like, what can any of this mean? I have no idea. I clearly am never going to think about it in my downtime.
And also, we see a new magic-y thing happen when Murtag pulls out a magic item to heal Thorn in the middle of their duel.
Oh, right, yeah.
Which isn't really how anything like this has worked up to this point.
But I assumed it was like Aragorn's Belt and Ring, where it was a source of magical power, not necessarily like... Mm-hmm. Not necessarily that the thing healed, like the object is like a holy grail or whatever, but that it was specifically a source of magic, kind of like Aragorn has this ring that has unlimited. I don't know if it was last week or is it this where they someone mentions that ring's got like infinite power in it, and he just kind of keeps forgetting.
Arya mentions that he could use the ring to store energy in our last reading, and then he looks inside, he's like, holy shit, Bronn was like topping this off for like 30 years.
Yeah.
This is incredible. And then it is after this fight, when they're fighting Murtag and Thorn as the zombies are attacking the camp. As Murtag's flying away, he realized, ah, shit, I forgot the ring. I could have used that.
Yeah. Maybe it's because of Shelby Genre reading Earthsea right now, but when he mentions Brom just kept this thing topped up for like 50 years in secret, I just think it's like a wizard cum jar. That's what that is.
Yeah, so I much mean, about Earthsea is
about
is.
The weird celibacy of the wizards and how it gives the wizards think being celibate gives them the power, which is clearly not a real thing, but they really invest in the idea.
Well, now I'm thinking about that.
Yeah.
He did not pull out the cum jar for this one.
I forgot. Aragorn's walking around with the cum jar of his mentor at all times.
So, Rorin.
Rorin gets married and it's great. I truly don't remember if anything else happens. I mean, other than the zombie thing, but like the marriage is fun. Nasuada's there and has a whole thing about like, you know, gives the dowry and helps set this up and treats them all really mm-hmm. nicely, partially because she really wants Rorin to be happy because he's going to be very useful to her, which mm-hmm. is good. I'm really excited for Rorin to be like a general in the Varden army.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
But right now we will have Rorin as like the new guy.
It's just, we're like more than halfway through this series. It's like, we're like cooking. You know, it's like things need to start happening.
It's so true. Remember this feeling next book is all I'll say.
Okay.
But yeah, there's that. And the zombies we keep mentioning are soldiers. There's like a specific small group of soldiers that show up on a boat to try and attack the Varden camp. They're like, this is stupid. There's only like 300 of those guys. Yes. That's easy. Turns out they've been enchanted to not have the ability to feel pain.
Yeah.
And that's made them crazy.
Yeah. Not only does it make them incredibly hard, like hardy in that they could lose limbs and they'll still keep coming, but the nature of that so unnerves the Varden army that they just like quail at the face of these guys, like getting skewered and disemboweled and still marching forward. Right.
Yeah. There's like, we see King Orin like get off his horse and like take an axe from the cull guy next to him to like behead this last guy after trying to talk to him.
Yeah.
He's just standing there like totally shaken.
Yeah.
In front of all his guys.
Yeah. That guy that they interrogate before he beheads them reveals that they were basically like conscripted to do this. They knew they were dying, but their families were sworn to be taken care of by Galbatorix if they do this. And then Nasuada goes, we need to get the mages to learn how to do this immediately and start signing people up to be weird zombie soldiers. Which, man, I love her. She's functionally very evil in a way that, like, I appreciate. I really want out of my heroes. Understanding that wars are not won by being nice.
Yeah. No. You gotta kill.
Yeah.
And we do have one more Angela beat where Aragorn briefly mentions that he met Tenga, that weird, crazy guy.
The Tom Bombadil of the inheritance cycle.
And she's like, what the fuck did you just say?
Yeah.
Because she was his apprentice back in the day.
We didn't really talk about it then, but he's like, oh, you're going to leave just like she did. And I was like, I bet that means Angela. Very, very, very obvious, tidy little connection there. And then she's like, oh, did he say what question he was working on? He's like, no, he didn't. He just said he'd been working on it for a while. It was like, do you know what the thing is? And she's like, I don't know. It could be the same one. He has a question. He fixates on it. He solves it. And then he moves on to the next question. Maybe he's looking at the same question he was looking at when I trained under him. And he's like, what is that? And it's something about like opals or some, it's something.
Yeah.
Dumb.
Whether the phases of the moon affect the creation of opals under the Beor Mountains.
It definitely felt more like when Aragorn ran into him, he was trying to discover the source of all magic and not anything about opals and the moon, but, you know,
yeah, the opals and moon thing doesn't sound like plot relevant, but yeah. What you said, that sounds kind of like useful information.
Yeah. So, yeah, he fights Murtagh. Murtagh's there with the zombie army. Not zombies, but we're just going to call them the zombie army.
Yeah.
And he gives his whole pitch of, like, join me, Murtagh, like, join me. I'll help you change your name, and you don't have to be like this, because your true name can change, and then the king won't have power over you. And he's like, you don't understand. Like, he's going to find a way to get it out of me. And maybe you're telling me the truth, but I need to decide that and work on it myself with my dragon, and I can't trust you to, like, help me here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, it's very obvious Murtagh is going to become a good guy, like, right before he dies at the end of all this.
That would be really something.
Yeah.
He's so evil.
Yeah, I know.
Definitely, for real.
Yeah, definitely the most evil guy when he's like, I don't want to do this, Aragorn, and being forced every time he fights.
Yeah, he's just like, I want to live.
Yeah.
Yeah, also Thorin is bigger. Thorin continues to grow at a weird accelerated rate.
This seems like a bad idea.
Seems like a really bad idea.
Yeah.
Like, dragons are already a lot to deal with. What if you gave a dragon, like, a bad childhood? That'd be even worse.
Yes.
But, yeah, that's most of what happens. Then there's the wedding. Everyone has a good time. Aragorn has to be at social functions a lot, also, with Nessuada. And he hates it. Because he's an outdoor boy.
Yes.
He has to try to memorize all these faces and names and shake all these hands.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm built different. I would rather do that than swing a sword at a big bug man.
You know? I agree. I do agree. It is funny because, like, Saphira's also there. They have, like, a giant hole in the roof where she can stick her head in. And she's the one who basically, like, once she gets fed up, just is like, okay, it sort of starts tapping her claw on the ground and everyone decides it's time to stop the meeting. And she's much more polite and patient than Aragorn is, despite being a dragon.
Yeah. Also Aragorn performs the wedding.
Yes.
He, like, officiates it.
Yeah. I mean, we knew he was going to do that. I felt like it barely needed mention.
You know?
There's a great scene before the actual wedding where Aragorn goes in where, like, all of the people, the village, like, you know, his people are, and he helps the women just, like, they're, like, making bread or something, I think. He's just, like, helping, like, make, like, dough. And He like tries to talk to them and they're clearly like unsure about him because he's a weird elf Superman now. And so he just quietly goes to work and then they eventually just start talking and like joking like he was the boy that they knew growing up and helping them. And yeah, it's really genuinely a great scene.
The moment that they open up is after one of them reaches over and like corrects him on something.
Yes.
And then after that, they're like, okay, now.
Yeah. Which is also extremely Earthsea coded, for the record. I'm sure Chris read Earthsea, and I'm glad that he did.
Because I know that was also a thing that people like to say about Aragorn, is that it was just stealing from Earthsea. Or
yeah,
if you
were
looking at online stuff in the wrong era, you would find people who cared enough about Aragorn being popular, but also really liked Patrick Rothfuss, and then you'd have people comparing it to Name of the Wind, but that's a very specific time.
I think you're the only person I've ever known who's brought up Patrick Rothfuss in my sight. So,
you know, we all have our devils.
Yeah. So the thing about this reading is, like, not a lot happens, honestly, mm-hmm. like, all told. But Brisinger is a book, I think, and we talked about it a little bit with the stuff with, what's the name of the guy that he lets go?
Sloane.
Yeah, but Sloane is, so much of this book seems really fixated on Aragorn being a person who's developing his own sense of morality, which is like mm-hmm. a thing people do, right? Like, I think most people who are listening to this probably have sat down and been like, eventually at some point, whether it's in your teens or your 20s, honestly, I think it's like a lifelong process. Go, like, what is the thing I believe in? Not just like what I was taught, but like, what do I care about and what do I value? Am I like a person who believes in violence for its own sake, or like never, people should always be strive for peace, whatever. That's like a big one, because we do a Gundam podcast where you have to talk about that every fucking week and it's tiresome. Mm-hmm. I think Brisinger is really focused on, and maybe it's because of Chris's age. I don't know. I don't want to attribute everything. Maybe he's just someone who cares about this, because I do think it's in his sci-fi book in a certain way either, also, is the development of someone's own personal morality, like sense of right and wrong, despite people wanting to push them in one direction or the other. Because mm-hmm. Aragorn understands that, like, Nas Suada is ruthless because she has to be, that's her job, and understands that Rohan is, like, hardened, and understands that Arya will do things with a certain lack of care. And even though he doesn't think any of them are wrong, he chooses, like, a way that is going to be different than theirs. And it's not he's not Kiri Amato. He's not immediately condescending to do, like, a middle path. Because he's also, like, eating meat sometimes, and, you know, he's mm-hmm. he's choosing his own way that is unique to him. And I think the book spends a lot of time and a lot of care for, like, you know, a young adult book that's about dragons being cool, like having a dragon pet slash girlfriend slash wife slash mom, to focus on what it is to, like, develop your own sense of the world and your moral viewpoint. And I think it's, like, really good.
Yeah,
that part I think is just, like, genuinely great. I'm like, man, Brisinger's got it going on when it comes to that stuff. Like, Aragorn does so many small things that Arya would not think to do. Some of the, like, go to distribute the eggs to the people who he mm-hmm. thinks have helped him along the way, and, like, bring them at peace, and maybe give them a sight, like a vision of, like, what they could do to help themselves and also the like collective effort. Arya would have no fucking time for that. She'd be like, who cares about that guy and his wife? Like, they're not important. And she, on some level, she's right, right? But also, because of who Aragorn is, he's always going to think of a little guy having the potential to, like, achieve something, and in mm-hmm. aggregate, that stuff being important, because he was a little guy.
Yeah. It also, like, he goes to the same sword guy that he's yes. been seeing in every book.
Yes.
Every time he's with the Varden, and he's, like, training with Arya, or getting tested, or, like, whatever happened in Eldest. I think he just, like, I think it was, he was, like, Rohan was there or something. I don't yeah. remember. He was in the, he's been in every book, I think.
Yeah.
But he's the same sword guy. That Aragorn is just friends with this guy. And he goes back to the same guy.
Yeah.
Even when he's, like, this big dragon-riding hero.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a certain, like, it's not even, like, meant to be, like, humbleness, though it does evoke that. But I do think mm-hmm. it's just, like, Aragorn is constantly seeking for his own idea of what is correct, that is different than the elven training he's been given, and isn't just running off being a cool guy at all times. In fact, Aragorn is very rarely a cool guy, and that's kind of what I like about him.
He exploded his balls.
He did explode his balls. Yeah. That's just all really good. I like it a lot.
Yeah. Great news for you. Next reading is going to be very dwarfy.
It better be. There hasn't been any fucking dwarves.
There's just that one guy hanging out who sometimes says yes, Nas Suada, when she says to do something.
Yeah. But we've got to get a new elven, or not, a dwarven king at some point, so.
Yeah. I think that's it for this. I finished the reading and I was like, damn, that's it?
Yeah, yeah, it went really fast. I mean, the chapter of the zombies is, like, really long, is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only is there, like, oh, there's guys on the horizon, and everyone gathers, and then there's the whole fight with Murtaugh, and that goes on forever, because they just talk back and forth endlessly. And then there's the whole, well, it turns out they were zombies, can't feel pain, and then Nas Suada's got to be like, well, I want some of that. It's just a lot of moving parts in that one. It was
there's
a big chapter.
There's no cuts, because, like, between the seeing them on the horizon...
Yes.
And them, like, doing the fight with Murtaugh, we get... like scenes where, like, Aragorn is putting on his armor and getting ready and rushing
yes.
across the camp. Like, there's no cutaway. It's like a weird one
yeah.
take chapter. or something, but until he passes out, obviously.
Yeah. He do be passing out.
All right. Well, I have our next reading on my phone here that I'm pulling up, and I'm not stalling.
Okay. Oh, I don't have my book on me. Otherwise, I can help you out.
So, I changed it at the last second.
Yeah, you said you were adding a chapter or something?
We are reading Whispers in the Night through Ascension.
Okay.
I had intended to originally end a chapter previous, but I looked at it again and was and realized that I should... I'm always off by one chapter, it seems like.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll end on Ascension, which will be our third of four readings for this book.
Yeah.
And then we'll have another four for next book.
Is next book as long as this one? It's 831 versus about. 860. Okay, that's about the same.
Yeah, it's about.
Yeah.
I really need to get a hold of a physical copy just to like gauge the actual like length of these segments I've separated.
Yeah.
But... yeah. Plugs?
Yeah, sure. You can find me on Twitter at @EM_being. I'm actually making an effort to tweet more. That's like, we're in day 2.5 of that, so I don't know. By the time you're listening to this, maybe I've already stopped again. You can find all my podcasts at neuralmapping.com. Listen to Around the Long Fire, which is my classics podcast with Neve from Ornate Stairwells and Ghost Divers on this podcast network. We're currently reading Mort d'Arthur, which the episode, I guess if you're listening to the Patreon feed, it'll be out next week. Episode 3 of Mort d'Arthur has a fucking thing in it that I'm like, I don't know if I want to talk about that on a podcast because it's so edgelordy, but it was kind of cool. It was very juvenile. There's just a very evil giant who does very evil, like OVA gore things to people in one of the chapters. And then Arthur becomes the fucking Roman Emperor, which is a thing I didn't know happened to Arthur.
Okay.
At no point has anyone ever told me, hey, you know King Arthur? He became Emperor of Rome. in chapter 20 of 90 of Mort d'Arthur.
I don't think I've ever heard that either.
Yeah.
That's wild. You can find me on various social media platforms under the name Skulldaughter. I'm also trying to post more, but that's me posting on everything. So Twitter, Blue Sky co-host, I'm just kind of trying to post more everywhere.
Yeah, I'm only on Twitter, I'll be real.
I've mostly been writing up session reports of our tabletop games. So that's been fun. Find more podcasts like this at exportaud.io or patreon.com/exportaudio, and give us your money. We're doing cool stuff.
You should do that. Absolutely.
You should. That's where you'll find Anomalous Readings, where Jackson and I recently read Dune. Accidentally very topical, though we hadn't planned it that way.
Yeah.
Because this episode was supposed to come out in January. December.
December, yeah. It was last year. It was
December, yeah. Because it's our 12th episode. But that was great. You go listen to that. We had a good time. And on the Abnormal Mapping network, I'm on Journal Updated, where Molly and I are playing mostly 360 games this month.
This year.
We just did Alan Wake. We're going to do Mirror's Edge next. And then after that, the first Assassin's Creed. So,
really all the hits, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to do Fear this year. So I'm having a great time.
How would I rank those games? I think Assassin's Creed 1, number one with a bullet. Then Mirror's Edge, then Fear, then Alan Wake. I actually am not a huge fan of Alan Wake. Like, I respect it enough, but I think that first game is clunky as fuck. I did not enjoy playing it particularly.
I was a little harsher on Alan Wake than Molly was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're playing a lot of 360 games this year.
Yeah. Assassin's Creed, one of the... you doing it is nice, because we've discussed doing an abnormal mapping on it for literally years, but then kind of just decided we weren't going to. This happens a lot with Journal Update. You kind of pick things, and I'm like, oh, maybe we should do that someday, and we never get around to it. And then you cover... I love Assassin's Creed 1. They never made another one like it. It's a beautiful game.
I have only played a little bit of it. Famously, I did attempt a Let's Play of it, and then I didn't record more because I lost some footage.
Oh, yeah. It's a pain in the ass.
It is. But yeah, I'll be interested to see that. Playing Dark Void has just, like, really shifted the way I look at video games.
What does that mean?
I don't know yet. Okay. It's like something was added to my scale that suddenly made me zoom out to, like, be aware that, like, video games could be more, like, than I had understood them to be.
Wait, Dark Void did this?
Yeah.
No, you need to elaborate. I'm not letting you go. I know you have dinner waiting for you, but I need you to talk to me about this one.
I don't know how else to explain it. It's like okay. when you have like a scale, but then you like add outliers. But
why Dark Void did do this?
I don't know. I don't play... So the thing about me generally is that I don't typically play games that I don't expect I'm going to like.
Uh-huh.
I don't play things that I don't know what to expect very often.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's weird to like get back into that sort of mindset. Okay.
I mean, yeah, this is the best part of game clubs, is you just like run mm-hmm. into something where you're like, you know, you pick things because you're kind of interested, but you never know. I've had so many of those big surprises doing abnormal mapping, and they're always a delight because they really can mm-hmm. I'm not really reframing what I think is possible in my gaming life much these days. I've been doing this a little too long, I think. But like early on when we did Doom, I was like, oh man, fucking Doom. Like I used to be one of the people who's like, I like everything but shooters. And no, I like shooters too, just good ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think Dark Void is very good.
No, but... no. But sometimes like, you know, you take it's just a game in a weird space and you're like, oh, more things are possible than I had expected. And that's legitimate. I think that's useful and good to experience.
Yeah, so we'll see what other revelations come from the 360 library in this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you know Fractal Noise is only 304 pages long? Chris, what are you doing?
I started that book and I did not finish it.
Okay.
All I know is that the first three chapters or so, maybe more, is about a guy being a former wife guy.
Okay.
Not an ex-wife guy. I guess a late wife guy.
Well, yeah, it's like not tied into the full story, right? Like it's...
Yeah, it's like a prequel about when they first found the beacon.
Yeah. Thing. Which I'm not particularly interested in, but I might read it at some point.
Yeah, it's pretty low on my priorities, and
304 pages of Christopher Paolini book is like, that's like 3 days of reading. Like, that's not a huge deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember he pissed some people off on his Reddit. He sparked an argument because the cover for that book was AI generated, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
Or like AI generated and then doctored from there.
I'm looking at this photo and I'm like, I guess I believe it, but all book covers are mid these days. So like, it just looks like ever the book cover to me.
Yeah.
Book covers, and I read digitally basically at all times, so like it doesn't really matter to me, but book covers are in such a flop period to me.
I haven't seen that many good ones, I gotta say.
Yeah.
We will be back next 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from when you hear it, we'll be back to talk about dwarves.
Yeah.
May your sword stay sharp.
Is that really our outro?
Yeah, it's been our outro the whole time.
Man, look.